Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360, on May 4th. May the 4th be with you. 2018. Welcome to this wonderful show. It's Live, Love, Laugh, and Leave a Legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And joining us today as co-host, the president and CEO of the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce, and producer, Mr. Mark Lips. And of course, with us because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and executive producer of the South Bay Show, Balestra. Hey, Jackie, Mark, how are you guys doing today?
I'm doing great.
I'm doing great.
Yeah.
We were out last night. We were out last night, Joe. Mark and I were out last night.
Yep.
Where'd you guys go?
I am now a Chargers fan.
Oh.
No, we were invited.
What turned the tide? Yeah.
Well, we were invited to an LA Chargers Chalk Talk. And it was in their stadium suite?
Stadium Club.
Something like that. And at StubHub, and they had the coach and the general manager there with Matt Money Smith interviewing them, and then took questions from the group of people that were there. I got the city manager there, Steve Napolitano, and some of our clients were able to be there. We were the only chamber that was invited, which was, I thought, was very nice of them. And it was great. You know, the reason I'm a Charger, it isn't because of so much of the players, but boy, what those guys, the coach and the general manager, were saying, it could have been a business leadership program. Because everything they were saying, how working with the players, and they really look at the character, and not, they look as much at character as they do skill. And when you think about the Chargers, and Philip Rivers and all of that, I mean, they really have had some pretty good characters. Lousy kicking, but good character. So it was a fun evening, and to have the city of Manhattan Beach kind of platformed up there was nice, by having the city manager and city council and all of that there, and they put our names up on the Jumbotron. Welcome,
yes.
Mark Lips. Welcome, Jackie Balestra. So it was very cool.
What?
It was very cool.
Wow.
It was very cool. Yeah, it was. We all talked about it again because, you know, a bunch of us had gone to that game last year.
Redskins.
And we were all saying it's such an intimate venue. And to get to see a professional football team play, it's like watching your kids play football in the backyard. Because it's so intimate. I think they said it's 27,000 seats.
27,000 seats. And, normally a football stadium's, 59,000, 60,000?
70. The Coliseum is 90,000.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, yeah, the new football stadiums are huge. You know, they want to get as many people in as they can. And even if you have great seats, you know, they still look like little ants on a field.
And also just getting up and getting food and all of that. I mean, you're with 70,000 people trying to get a hot dog.
Right.
You know, and
right.
And by the way, I encourage anyone to go to a game, whether you're a Chargers fan or not, because you will never see this again. You will never see an NFL team in a soccer stadium playing, professional football players playing in that venue. It just won't happen again. And it's really special. People will be talking about this years from now. Remember they played in the soccer stadium, the Galaxy? Did you ever go to those games?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, you did? You went to one of those? Man, that must have been cool. You know, I mean, it really is kind of historical.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
It's a lovely venue.
Again, it's in the South Bay. You don't even have to get on a freeway to get there. So we love everything about it.
Well, you and John at the game, you guys Ubered.
Yeah.
Didn't you Uber? Yeah. And it took you, I mean, on a Sunday, it took you just a few minutes, and boom, you were there.
Yeah, I think it took
Didn't even
like
have to worry
minutes.
About parking and paying those parking fees.
So it's all around. Everything about this venue is really terrific. So I think they said they're only going to play 14 more games there, and then they're off to bigger things. So, you know, go out and get your tickets now.
Yeah, they'll have
14 more games. Well, that's
you think
like
2 years
this year and next,
regular season games, because they have to to consider they're traveling too. So, 14 regular season games in at home.
Right. So that means throughout this year and then next year. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So two more seasons. And I met the chief revenue officer. These guys really want to get to know everybody in the area. You know, I'm going to talk to the South Bay Area Chambers of Commerce and see if we can do a big full chamber, you know, all the chambers coming over and doing something fun there. So.
Mm-hmm.
We'll
and they were also
see.
Nice, weren't they? Yeah. Weren't they? They were also nice. Everybody, the coach and Mike and all the execs, and they were all so friendly. Everybody came over and introduced themselves, and they let us take pictures. And it was a very nice event. Yeah.
Yep. So, you know, we could even maybe get Mike on the show or get one of those guys on the show too. So that'd be nice.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Wow. You guys were at StubHub. It's easy to get there via Uber. It's not like flying to Chicago and going to see a Cubs game, is it, Jackie?
No, not at all, Joe. Not at all. No.
I lived in Wrigleyville. I know that. Yeah.
I was there Sunday. I saw the Cubs womp the Milwaukee Brewers, and that was amazing and fun.
I love
and
going
wonderful.
To Wrigley. Wrigley's one of my favorite ballparks. I mean, you know, it's so old school there. They still have the, you know, the third baseline and have to have somebody watch with a helmet on because that's where they're, you know, the pitcher's warming up there, just like in Little League, you know. It's still that way there at Wrigley. So
it was amazing and wonderful.
Hey, did you see our newsletter that went out yesterday?
I did.
Looks good, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot better.
Yeah.
I've had too many people go, Mark, you got to clean that up. And anyway, Carolina, who is our taking over some of our social media and marketing and all of that, she just, and you know, she's in the age range that she knows what to do and how to do it and all of that.
She cleaned it up. Well, it's packed with information, which I like. And, you know, when you have that much information, you got to make sure that, you know, it's easy to read, easy to find the information.
Engaging.
And so all the information's still there. You've just reorganized it a little bit, a little new layout. So,
also, you know, consistent font and consistent colors in some of the areas and things like that. I mean, it's just more pleasing to the eye. It's more engaging, I think. And also, they, you know, I go off on a rant about stuff sometimes. And when they said, okay, here it is, Mark, we worked on it, all of my stuff was gone. I'm going, what happened to my stuff? I had stuff written there. Yeah. They go, Mark, too much, too much. I'm going, well, you know that hurts, right? You guys know you're cutting me to the quick here. So, but it was good.
Yes. No, it's good. It's always good to hit the refresh button. Now, we have a lot of stuff to talk about with our guest today.
And we do.
We'll get to this eventually, but I just want to let everybody know how well I am sleeping the last several months. Do you guys go through periods where you're just not getting good sleep and other periods where you're sleeping like a baby every night? And you can sleep, if you're not interrupted by an alarm, you can sleep 9 hours or 10 hours. I am in such a good sleeping mode right now. It just makes all the difference in the world. So
that's something
I want to talk to our guest about today, in addition to a bunch of other stuff.
So is that cannabis? Is it cannabis?
No, not at all. No, I don't. You know something? I am actually deathly allergic to that stuff. So I do not partake of it. So that's actually quite dangerous for me. So anyway, So Joe.
Yes.
Shall I introduce our guest?
Well, Jackie, who's our guest today?
Our guest this morning is Jane Justice, a certified holistic health counselor and fitness instructor. Now, Jane has been involved in dance, fitness, sports, and nutrition her whole life. She received her BS in nutrition from William Woods University and completed her dietetic internship at the University of Iowa City Hospitals and Clinics. After having graduated from the Institute of Integrative Nutrition, Jane focused on individualized holistic coaching with her clients. She is the author of the Vibrant Living 7-Day Detox Program and a workshop and seminar speaker. Her commitment to teaching and her enthusiasm for feeling good is contagious. Her goal is to help as many people find a more vibrant life and empower them to take charge. Jane is also a fitness instructor at Yoga Cycle and teaches her own Kangoo Blast class. So, guys, this morning, it's all about living well and feeling great. Welcome to the program, Jane. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you. It's exciting.
Thank you. It's wonderful to have you here, Jane. It's been quite a while since I think we've seen each other in person, but you have been such a fixture in the healthy living, healthy food movement, but not many people know about your history. So let's start near the beginning, somewhere around your first job, let's say. When did you really start thinking about healthy nutrition and healthy living and healthy moving?
Okay, that goes way back. Well, thinking about healthy living started actually with my mother. She was a nurse and at a hospital. And what I knew was I didn't want to be a nurse, but I really liked the health field. And then my brothers became diabetic at the ages of my older brother and my younger brother. They were like 9 and 11, so the juvenile diabetes.
What?
And so living through that whole challenge for my family and kind of like a whole lifestyle change early on taught me the importance of diet and eating and, you know, just keeping yourself well. So that was probably the beginning. And then I went on to school and majored in nutrition, did my internship, worked in a hospital. And actually hospital work was life-changing and educational, and we work right beside the doctors. But what I noticed is that it was really hard for me to be around sick people, and seeing also the results of diabetes with the amputees and the kidney transplants and all that, I was just like, oh my God, I can't be around this with my brother. I thought about my brothers all the time. So it was really hard for me to be in that space. But what I learned was how important, you know, taking care of yourself and being healthy really is. And then one of the cardiologists that I worked with, he saw an ad for on a cruise ship for a dietitian and fitness instructor. And he's like, James, mm-hmm. it's the perfect job for you. You have to interview. So I said, let me see. I'm in Missouri. Cruise ship's out of Miami. Maybe I will do that.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was so excited and fortunate enough to get the job. And soon I was, on the cruise ship in Miami, doing what I love in a healthy environment. So
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I went on my first cruise earlier this year, and I can tell you that it did not strike me as a very healthy environment. Jane wasn't there because people were eating themselves silly, and there was a lot of drinking. And so how do you, what kind of cruise was it that was focused on health and healthy living?
Well, yeah, that's the interesting thing now, because cruises have changed so much over the years. When I was on the ship, we had a very structured program. So I actually gave talks and lectures on nutrition. We had fitness classes every day. We had a sports deck where we got everybody involved in sports. And, yes, the food was truly abundant. I mean, I counted like 13 times a day you could eat, so there was certainly wasn't a shortage of food. So I guess, people would come to work out because they would know they had to go eat. So,
I think the nice thing about cruises now too, though, they've really began to specialize. They're beginning to specialize too. Like you can take a yoga cruise, a yoga centric cruise, or you can take, a culinary cruise where you learn to cook and cook healthy or whatever. I mean, they're really beginning to specialize, and so you can kind of find the cruise that's right for your lifestyle, or a lifestyle you'd like to get more involved in.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes, mm-hmm. absolutely. I mean, that goes for retreats. I mean, there's so many different types of retreats
right.
now. I just got back from a yoga retreat, and it was so fun because you focused on your body and your health and the food. And I was lucky enough to do this with my daughter, but we realized, how fun it was to be on an active vacation and just really focus on yourself. So,
Jane, do you do those retreats?
I just want to ask you a question about juvenile diabetes, because I know a lot of health information has come out in recent years about the power of whole food plant-based eating. And many practitioners are saying, diabetes can be managed or eliminated because much of the cause is because of our diet. Can you just talk about that for those people that are struggling with that issue?
Yes, that's a big topic. And actually, my thesis in college was how exercise affects diabetes and how you can control your diabetes with exercise. So even early on, I was kind of focused in that direction. Diabetes has changed so much and has become such and truly an epidemic because, it's not just juvenile diabetes anymore. It's not just type 2. It's happening earlier and earlier, and it's more and more, I do believe, it's diet-related. We're seeing more of this, what's called insulin resistance, and it's where the insulin cannot get to the blood, to the sugar, to the glucose, and handle it. It's almost like the receptor sites are blocked. And that, I believe, is very closely linked to what's called lectins, getting very technical here, lectins, which lectins are plant sources that do wreak a little bit of havoc in your body. And some of the most, the biggest source of lectins are wheat and gluten. So what is so abundant in our life right now in our diets is wheat, bread, gluten. And so you see all this wheat and gluten sensitivity, and you also see an upsurge of diabetes. So what you said, Joe, about going back to focusing on plant-based is so, so true. We need to get back to the basics and eat a very green, alkaline, less starch and sugar, you know, because obviously sugar has become a poison in our world today too. So, yeah, there's a lot going on here with that, yes.
And perhaps Dr. Lips, could you comment on this as well?
Well, I can, because Jane is only touching on the surface of the stuff that she, the things that she works on, which is pretty interesting. And for our listeners, everybody knows Jane. You may not know her name, but she's that lady jumping around on the pier, and people, if you mention, do you know Jane Justice? No. Well, you know the lady that jumps on the, with the boots, the springy boots, and jumps around?
No.
And, oh, yes, yes, you know, runs the 5Ks and all of that, and you know, so everybody knows Jane. And that should be a TV show, Everybody Knows Jane. The
wow.
The and they could be a holistic coach. Everybody Knows Jane. That would be very good. That would that's actually a good show. Jane, we should start working on that. We'll give it to Stan, and Stan can make it happen.
Okay.
But Jane investigates so many other things and has so many other. She's got a women's group that she's put together and empowers and women to come together and share each other's successes. And I know my wife has been to it, you know, and I know another, a lot of other ladies have go to this group that she's put together regularly. She's got a workshop, and it, you know, might be a little controversial, but eating for your blood type. And I went and took that workshop one time, which is, I thought, fascinating. Is that still, Jane, are you still subscribing to that?
Yes, yes. I just had 4 talks in the last couple months. I love to do these workshops. They're so fun. And, you know, it is a bit controversial in the sense that the medical field doesn't always, you know, give it so much credit. But honestly, it's proven itself over and over again with my clients that they remove a few foods out of their diet and they feel so much better. But also people can really relate to and own that whatever their blood type is, that's the foods they should and shouldn't eat. So it's easily more easily acceptable, I guess, than me telling them not to eat something. But way fun because we get into personality, we get into types of exercise you should and shouldn't do, and we're really just creating like what your lifestyle should be around your blood type. And it's really fun when you get a room full of blood type O's and blood type A's and B's and a few ABs. So it's really fun to have the conversation. Is very interactive and very fun because the, you know, the foods are different for each blood type and also, you know, the personalities.
Right? Well, for instance, you go to the workshop and you get your blood type. I mean, you test for your blood type. And then based on that blood type, I mean, you may be from Europe. You're not sure where your roots are going back centuries and centuries. I mean, we think, oh, I'm German, oh, I'm Scottish or something like that. But and then you find out, oh, you know, there are certain foods that fit with my region where I came from, where my ancestors came from, that I'm better suited to than, say, because I found out that cake is really good for me.
I'm going to that workshop. I'm going to that workshop.
Yeah. No, you know, what's really fun is watching men get their finger pricked. That's what's really fun.
Well,
no, if you don't know your blood type, we can test it.
Haven't any of you ever given blood and gotten a little American Red Cross card so that you know what your blood type is? I keep mine in my wallet, so if God forbid anything happens to me, they could just say, oh, here's her card. She's O positive.
And you know what's wild is if you go to the doctor, they don't tell you that. You have to request to find out what your blood type is.
Well, I'll tell you what. Just go to the next blood drive, and you get it done for free. Find out for free. You don't even have to pay the doctor.
And we have one coming up, by the way, at the city here May 23rd in honor of Officer Vasquez. So, anyway.
You know, And Jackie, I just want to say thank you for giving blood, because it's so important that people give blood. O is the universal donator, so we need tons of O blood. But also, it's really good for your health to give blood and donate, because you actually flush out the old, what we call the old dirty blood, and then your body reproduces this new oxygenated blood. It's so good for your heart and for your body. So it's actually,
and you lose
really
a little weight, and you lose a little bit of weight.
Yeah, you do.
Take a little off. Can you take the blood from my hips, please?
Yeah.
Each
a little
bloodline.
Bit. Just put the needle. Yeah.
Exercise
put a needle
exercise.
In each eye. Yeah.
We can't. Now, Jane did get me doing something that I will say, not the most comfortable thing in the world. Jane, you know what I'm
what
talking
are you
about.
What you going
to
right? say, Mark? I do know what you're talking about. Yes.
And I mean, and what's the, and do you still subscribe to that? Because that's also controversial, right?
Are you talking about the detox and the liver cleanse?
Yeah, you know, where I go into that place and I lay on that couch and or lay on that bed and she...
Oh, the colon hydrotherapy.
Yeah.
That's right.
Whoa.
You did do
right.
that. Yes,
that's
absolutely.
Where they found a hot dog from 1972.
Yeah, so. Graphic.
Okay. All right. Cool.
But...
colon hydrotherapy.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy. But you actually can see. I mean, you're cleaning your system.
So. Is this something I want to see, Mark?
No, you do not.
Okay.
Don't even visualize.
Okay.
It's crazy.
Okay.
But
all
you,
right.
It is surprising. You know, it's just surprising what we the toxic things that we have and hold in our bodies. You know,
yeah.
in these vessels
yeah.
that we have, it's just amazing.
Yeah. Yes. That, I mean,
well,
that is why I got into detoxing, really. It's not to be so graphic, but not, it's because we do store toxins, lots of them, in our fat cells.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, cellulite is a perfect, you know, example of that, but also just, you know, weight that we carry around the middle, just everywhere in our body, and it's very unhealthy. And the more toxins you have, the more tired you feel, the more lethargic you are, the more your brain is not working at its best capacity, and your body's not functioning at its highest capacity. So that was my motivation for getting involved in detoxing, too. So you can start at the very beginning, as they say.
let me ask you something, Jane. When you go in for a colonoscopy and, you know, the night before you go in, you flush your system out, is that kind of doing the same thing?
Not really, because what you're putting in your body is a ton of chemicals. It's not very healthy anyway, but it is, quote-unquote, necessary to clean your lower intestines so that they can do what they do and take pictures of your colon. But, no, it's not really working on as deep a level as a person needs. So,
you know,
I got to tell you,
because a couple of years ago, I went in for my first colonoscopy, and the night before, you know, the doctor gives you it's a recipe. Mine was like Gatorade and one of the laxatives. It was a powdered laxative, and you got to put the laxative in the Gatorade, and you got to drink 8 hours every 2 minutes or something, every 2 or 3 minutes, you got to drink it. And I have to tell you, I had such an adverse reaction to that. I was shaking with all of that, because I don't eat a lot of sugar. And I was laying on the floor shivering, and it was a horrible experience. That was a terrible experience.
John said, "Get out of the way, Jackie. You're blocking my view."
Yeah, exactly.
But
well, yeah, no.
So Jane, what if you know?
Yes.
I've always thought, because of the cancer, I've had many colonoscopies back in the day, and I wonder if that is that not a healthy thing to do, to take that concoction that these guys give you and do that maybe once a month or once every couple of months just to clean yourself out?
No, what they give you, I mean, Gatorade and all the things that they give you, Jackie pretty much described how,
right.
you know, like, you know, dangerous it can be or uncomfortable as it can be. Those are very harsh chemicals you're putting in your body. Some doctors who are a little more advanced in colon hydrotherapy and believe in it actually prescribe, you can go and get a colonic before a colonoscopy. And many people opt for doing that instead of drinking all that
mm-hmm.
stuff and before their colonoscopy. So it's actually much more healthy to do a colonic and safer than
mm-hmm.
doing that for, you know, that process. But doing a cleanse, so I should transition right into the cleanse, because doing a cleanse for three or four times a year is just really healthy for your body. And that a cleanse can be nothing more than just eating raw fruits and vegetables and taking out the sugars and the coffee and the meat and the dairy, you know, eliminating some foods for a while so that you give your body a chance to heal itself and to eliminate. So your body knows what to do. It's an amazing machine. It's just we got to get through the gunk. We just got to get some of it out to clear the pathways, more or less. So
I did the I did the lemonade cleanse for about 3 weeks, I think I lasted. 3 weeks or a month, something like 3 weeks, I think. And Tammy said, if I ever do that again, get a hotel room.
crabby.
Talk about, and she was not helping at all because the kids were all at that, you know, young teen stage and she's Memorial Weekend making ribs and I'm going,
oh, goodness,
you know,
torture.
Yeah, exactly. And that's when I was eating meat. And so, you know, but what's interesting about the cleanse, or it's not a weight loss program. I think some people assume that it's a weight loss program, right? Because I didn't lose that much weight. I did not lose that much weight, and I exercised, but I didn't lose that much weight. It was more about just cleansing your insides.
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends. Everybody is very different, but you can lose anywhere from 4 to 14 pounds on my 7-day. That includes water weight. It includes toxic waste. You're also, you know, just not eating some of the foods that you were eating before. So
mm-hmm.
think how healthy that is, right? And if you continue on after the cleanse, which hopefully you've picked up some really good habits of making smoothies every day and eating more raw fruits and vegetables, then you're going to continue to lose weight because you've cut back on the things that cause you to gain weight or to feel bad. So there, hopefully there's a residual ripple effect of all that too.
Right.
It's
well,
learning new habits.
I think I lost 5 pounds or so doing it, but I was only
a week, right?
5 pounds of bad stuff. That's good. Lost 5 pounds.
I'd take losing 5 pounds right now because what my problem now is I'm not in the exercise routine that I was, and so my diet is cleaned up pretty much. I still eat too much, probably bread and, you know, not much, but I mean if I break down and have a thin crust pizza, you know, that kind of bread, or even though it might have tomatoes and mushrooms and black olives and things like that. But so that's the next thing. I've really got to work hard to get that out of my diet. But I haven't been exercising like I need to.
You know what's amazing is I've noticed that last couple of years when I eat bread, about an hour later, I'm falling asleep. So I just, you know, sandwiches, and you know, the bread gets in my system and I'm just like down and out for the count. Hey Joe, let's do a quick station break, Joe, please, and so we can continue this conversation.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show. And we always have an interesting guest for you. We always have something
very, very, very either important or pertinent or a result of living in the South Bay. And I would say that Jane Justice, a certified holistic health counselor, is one of those gems of the South Bay. So we are talking with Jane, and we're going to have more conversation, and we're going to find out more about Kangoo Club South Bay. We'll have Jane talk about that, Kangoo Club South Bay, and all kinds of other things. So if you'd like to join us and you have a question or a comment, we'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714. If you're listening live and you're an early riser, 714-242-5288. Give us a call. We'd love to have your comment or question for Jane. And so, Jane, I would love for you to start off the second half by talking about the Kangoo Club South Bay. Explain that, please.
Okay. Well, I discovered these booths about 7-8 years ago. One of my friends at the gym was jumping on Kangoo boots, Kangoo jumps they're called, and they are a rebounder shoe. And I started having knee problems after all the running that I've been doing over the years at exercise classes, and pretty soon I was, you know, down to a couple miles, you know, ability to run my shoes. And as soon as I put these boots on, I was like, oh my gosh, right? Because the boots absorb the impact, and 80% of the impact on your knees and joints. So I fell in love immediately. And so I was like, okay, that's it. New shoes, and became certified to teach the class, learned all about the boots, how to teach class. So I just started teaching classes around and just sharing it with people, and just people who would normally like run or exercise like that would put on the boots and they go, oh my God, this is so much fun, and I can just bounce around and burn calories. And yeah, it just became a thing. And and you can be outside. I mean, we have the perfect venue right at the beach, and we're right here to enjoy. Right?
Is this for concrete only? Is it for sand? What are some of the parameters for this, the Kangoo jumps?
Yeah, you need a hard surface. So it can be, I've been on the track, I've been on the strand, I've been in, you know, we've done races together. Any really grass, I've run through parks. Even when I've been in the Midwest for the holidays, I've run in the snow. So not as easy, got to be a little more careful. But yeah, basically any hard surface. The base is rubber, and you can be indoors also. The base is rubber, and it has a little bit of a tread. Well, it does have a tread. So you're not going to easily slip. And really, it's hard to fall on them, actually. People always ask me, do you fall? Or I would fall if I put those things on. But it's not that difficult, really. It just looks
Isn't jumping supposed to be one of the best exercises you can do? Like jumping jacks or what are those other things where you jump and you hit the floor and you jump and you I can't remember the name of it, sorry. Yeah. Burpees.
Well, it's
burpees.
Kind of like, it's like plyometrics,
burpees,
right?
Well, basically rebounding exercise. There's over 300 medical studies done on rebounding alone. And that's what I would call trampolining, right? The trampoline, the small trampoline, the big trampoline, Kangoo jumps or trampolines. It's a rebounder, right? Because you bounce. So, yes, there's so many benefits of rebounding, one being that it's good for your bone density. It's really good for your lymphatic system. And what your lymphatic system is your toxic drainage system. So it sits right under your skin. So the more you sweat and the more you move things around in your body, you then can release it, right? Through your bowels, through the sweat, through your breath. So as you're kangooing, you're breathing, you're sweating from head to toe, your bowels, you know, your digestion is picking up. So you're going to be a whole lot better for that. And that is one of the major benefits. And it's hard to get people to move now. I mean, we're sitting so much more. So moving and bouncing, your endorphins immediately, you know, go up a notch. I mean, in the first 30 seconds, you can start to smile and feel better. You know, always enjoy watching people's face. It goes from like a little timid to, wow, this is fun. It's because the endorphins have kicked in. So, yeah, it's fun.
Well, that's
you should all try it.
Fascinating about this, you don't just talk about the obvious biomechanical benefits of rebounding, which are legend because it turns out that in normal movement, we only use maybe, you know, 30% of our core muscles. You actually have to move in very kind of awkward ways to activate more of your core muscles. But when you're jumping, and especially these rebounding exercises, your core muscles are very much involved at a high level. I mean, in the 80s instead of the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, talk a little bit about the mood enhancers, stress relieving endorphins, and things like that.
Yes, yes. Well, again, we're sedentary, right? And most of what we're doing now is thinking, and we're not moving. So the fact that we can get up and move and breathe, I mean, just getting everything moving through our body. We need our endorphins to kick in, right? We need our serotonin. We need our dopamine, our feeling good hormones. All of that is activated with exercise. And then you get into the part where you're actually in touch with your body. That's what I love to talk about with clients too, because getting them in touch with their bodies, you know, how does it feel when you work out? How do you feel afterwards? You know, how does it feel when you eat good food? You know, how does your body respond? Listen to those feelings and do more of that, because ultimately, you know, good health is our divine right, right? We're all supposed to be healthy. And we do more to take away from that feeling good than we do to feeling good. So how can we do more of that feeling good? Kids know how to do that, right? They know how to go and run and play and laugh. And adults, we forget how to play sometimes, and we forget how to have fun and move our bodies.
They call that reckless abandon.
We love runners, and especially Village Runner is one of our favorite organizations here in the South Bay. And so we wouldn't say anything against running ever, because we love runners, and especially Village Runner. But you, right, Jackie? Right? We love Village Runner.
Absolutely. I'm getting my running shoes from them for 30 years.
But scientific investigations with regards to impact forces have reported that between 27% and 70% of runners or joggers get injured in the first year after commencement of running, because people don't run properly. They don't get trained. They just buy shoes and go out there and make it up as they go along. They don't have trainers. They don't have, you know, consistent activity. I haven't run in, you know, 10 years. I'm going to go out and, like, run a marathon. And they just injure themselves. Can you talk a little bit about that, Jane, as it relates to how kangaroo jumps just don't have that problem?
Yeah, well, that's called really, you know, when somebody's so enthusiastic, we love enthusiasm, right? We love that commitment to, okay, I'm going to go do this, but if your body hasn't been moving, you haven't been working out, you can't go full steam. You have to build up. So when I'm talking to my clients about, you know, let's start out slow. Let's start out working out one time a week. Let's then move up to two times a week. And let's start out walking before running. I mean, you have to give your body a chance to, you know, to warm up, you know, your muscles, build up those muscles so you don't have injuries. And then if you're, of course, injured, then that's very discouraging. But that's too, what I love about Kangoo is that it's 80% less joint impact, and you don't have to do it for as long. So 10 to 20 minutes of jumping on your Kangoos is worth 30 and 40 or 50 minutes of regular exercise. So you not only cut down on exercise, but you also cut down on the chance of injury. And you can literally jump in place and watch TV. I always tell my clients, put your boots on. Do it. Get out the door or stand in front of the TV or jump rope for 10 minutes, whatever you got to do, and your whole mood will change. Everything will change. A little bit can go a long way in the boots. So come join me. I want all of you guys. Come on. Let's put some boots on. I'll bring them over to the office and we'll jump around.
Now that would be a fun.
I'm there.
You know what?
I'm there. Yeah,
that would be a fun pick.
Yes.
That would be a fun pick for the newsletter. To be out front of the chamber offices with us on the Kangoo boots. We should do that.
Yes. I'm in.
Count me in.
Oh, good. Yes. Kids, and it's great exercise for kids. I have some little boots, I call them, and I do birthday parties for kids. And they, of course, love it because to them it's just, you know.
It's bouncing.
More action, more fun. Bouncing on.
Right. You know, it's replaced the pogo stick.
I like it. Let's
do it.
Have you done the jumping, Mark?
I have not done it. I have been around Jane. I've done a lot of the other things and I've known Jane for many years. I've done a lot of the things that she's, her workshops. I have not put on the boots yet. She's mentioned it a few times. Listen, I went and did some of that, the hydro, all of that. I've done a lot of things through Jane. Have not done the boots.
All right. Well, we're all going to do it together for the first time.
Yeah. I think that would be a great photo op.
Yes.
When are we going to do
that? We're going to set it up.
Let's set a date.
Awesome.
I have
can't
the boots
wait.
In my car. We just have to do it.
You know what? We're here. So, Jackie, it's up to you.
I will plan it. Now, Jane, what I mentioned right at the top of the show, can we talk about sleep? Tell us about sleep. Because it's, as far as I'm concerned, one of the greatest things in life is sleep.
Right. If you and you love to sleep. Sleep feels so good. But also sleep is like the most important. And I rate exercise up there pretty high, right? It's like exercise cures everything. But if you're not getting proper sleep, you're actually harming yourself. But no, exercise is the most important thing you can do for yourself because your body rejuvenates. It cleanses and rejuvenates and replenishes and all that while you're sleeping, and you need proper sleep. I mean, the best time to go to bed, and I like to tell my clients this too or share with them, because it's between 10 and 11 p.m. and wake up between 6 and 7. Now, that's ideal. Now, some jobs and some work things, they can't do that or they work different hours. But that's your body's circadian rhythm. So that's when you'll feel your best. Sleep is super, super important. And we can't always get the perfect amount of sleep. But we can do things to ensure that we sleep as good as we can, like shutting off the devices 1 to 2 hours before sleep, certainly not watching violent TV or anything that we're going to take to bed with us, music, reading, relaxation are perfect antidotes to a good night's sleep, right? Less alcohol, sugar tends to keep us awake. And then getting up out of bed and just going after your day, positive thinking. I mean, yeah, sleep is super important. It sounds like you enjoy your sleeping, Jackie.
My problem is
I wake up in the middle of the night a couple of times, and a lot of times because of my situation, but and then fall back to sleep, and so I think my sleep is interrupted.
Yes, but you can go right
That's
back
annoying.
To sleep. And you have just go right back if you can and try to not to get the mind going, because that happens a lot too. People let their daily stresses, keep them awake. And I actually have meditations on my phone. I meditate every morning, and I also sometimes meditate at night, do sleep meditations, because I go to sleep with that in my ears, and that's really helpful too. You know, getting the right mindset, your subconscious working so you can be at peace.
What about reading? I read until my eyes get drowsy, and that's kind of the last thing
reading.
I do.
Yeah, reading's awesome. I mean, yeah, unless it's disturbing information, you know. I think reading a novel or reading some health stuff.
Right, no, it's always.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because you said turn off the devices 1 to 2 hours before you go to bed. For me, my habit is I will watch an hour of TV before I go to bed. It makes me sleepy. So I'll and I don't watch the violent stuff. I don't even watch the dramas. You know, I watch like HGTV or something like that, and I'll watch an hour of it, and then I'm ready for bed. Boom, down, out of the count.
Well,
yeah.
See, that's your generation.
We're the same generation, Mark. I got news.
No,
for you.
You're a little younger, but Tammy, same thing. She'll turn on the TV. And it's a sitcom usually, or some, you know, food show or something like that. And the next thing you know, she's sleeping, and I'm looking over there going, "Are you still watching this?" You know, click off because I'm reading, and I like it quiet. So it's funny. I think
quiet in a dark room. You know, they say turn off all the lights, you know, have as dark as a room as you can, quiet. Some people like background noise, like the fan running or something like that. But
yeah. White noise.
Yeah, white noise.
A lot of times, like, I'm going to watch a show, and I'm like, you know, I'm going to go watch it in bed. You know, I tell JB, I'm going to go down to bed and watch a little TV. And I get in my bed, and I get all cozy, and I turn the TV on. And a minute later, I'm like, turning the TV off, I'm going to sleep.
Right.
Yeah. I love that. I adore sleeping. But isn't it true, Jane, that I know, obviously, that if you're under stress of some sort, that will mess with your sleeping. But doesn't hormones, isn't there some hormonal stuff that can affect the way you sleep?
Absolutely. Hormones, period, that are out of balance, weight gain, hormones, diet, but truly keeping your hormones in check affects sleep. Yeah, for sure. So that's, and it all goes back to balance, Jackie. I mean, why I coach, why I do what I do is to talk to the person on individually, what's going on with them? You know, what are their habits? What are they doing? What's missing? What needs to be corrected? What new habits need to be formed? Because everybody's so unique, but there's a few key things that show up almost for everybody. And then there's different things at different times of their lives. You have different things in your 20s, your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and so on. So keeping your hormones in check, it's very, very important because that has to do with, you know, lack of sleep, weight gain, feeling tired, fatigued, you know. But you have to get the whole picture. You know, sometimes
right.
people will ask me just one specific thing, and I go, I don't know. You know, I don't know what else is going on in your life, you know. So that's why, you know, just really getting to know the person and, like, really looking at what their specific needs are is so helpful.
One last thing before, because we're going to get tight here. Talk about your women's groups that you do.
Sure. As you know, Mark, I love the South Bay. I love Manhattan Beach. I've been a resident here now for almost 30 years, and it's hard to believe that I've been in one place for 30 years. But I moved to Manhattan Beach in 1987, fell in love with the town and the people. And to me, I grew up in a small town. So for me, this felt like a small town with all the opportunity and all the wonderful weather and the people. And so I really, really love Manhattan Beach. And so having lived in the community and raising a child here and just being involved in different businesses throughout my career and in the community, and just meeting people and really getting involved, like I said, getting involved in the community, I see so many amazing women doing amazing things. So there's lots of networking groups. So I thought, how can I – but what I felt was missing was the really supportive networking group. So I called my group Radiant Women Entrepreneurs, and I started it 3.5 years ago with the purpose of just bringing women together. We meet once a month on Fridays, and now I'm trying to move those around so they don't conflict with your the chamber's monthly meetings. But it's an amazing group of women, and we're very supportive of each other. We network together, we support each other, and we refer each other. And that was the goal. That was the purpose. And because there's amazing women doing great things here. Not that there aren't amazing men doing great things, but women are really there's so many women entrepreneurs now.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that are doing great things.
Definitely need to get you involved in our women's mastermind in November.
Yes. Yeah, I went to the last one. It was amazing. It was so good. So good. We just need it bigger, more people.
I know. That's
really good.
That's the thing, More people.
Yeah. You can't do it on Thursday or Friday morning because I couldn't go because I had to do the show. So
it'll be Wednesday.
Better day of the week.
Wednesday. It's going to be Wednesday, November 14th.
Okay. Well, okay.
And
Bebe
Goldstein,
she's
working with me. She's one of the main driving forces for me. To work with me in making that happen. So,
yeah, she's so involved and she's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, Jane, we're running out of time here, so give us some contact information, like how people can get in touch with you, websites, phone numbers, emails, whatever you got.
Yes. Well, I have a couple of websites. One is my name, Jane Justice. It's J-A-Y-N-E, J-U-S-T-I-C-E, janejustice.com. My Kangoo last website is Kangoo Club South Bay, and my contact information is my phone number is 310-408-3839, and of course you can Facebook me. I have a Facebook page, private page, and a personal page, or I'm sorry, a business page and a personal page, and I look forward to just offering my services, being more part of the community, whatever way I can support people, their families, on their quest for good health. It's just, reach out to me. I'm happy to support you in any way.
So if everybody goes
really
to janejustice.com, a lot of those links will be there, right, too, for the others?
Yes.
For Kangoo and everything else?
So
if you just,
Facebook
Jane Justice, and that's J-A-Y-N-E, Justice, just like it sounds, Justice, J-U-S-T-I-C-E, but janejustice.com. And we have to say it three times, as you know, from the TV business to make that impression, janejustice.com,
right.
janejustice.com. So janejustice.com.
I like
so,
that.
I think Jane Justice sounds like an Avengers superhero. I love that.
Well, she is.
Never mind the TV.
She is.
Let's
She's Manhattan Beach's
break.
Superhero. Oh,
aww,
that's
thank
good.
You guys.
This is good.
So kind.
I want a cape
I
want a cape when we do the Kangoo. Thing. We got to get
drivers
too.
Yes,
it's all for the.
No, Jane should have a cape, and we're out there behind her as she's leaning.
We can have little capes. I love it.
Right.
I love it. Well, Joe, you want to take us home, Joe?
Yeah, I love this show, Jane. You've done so much to add value and just fun and health to the South Bay. And we'll call her the Justice League, Jane Justice.
I think that's already taken.
Taken. You might get sued.
We'll fight them. Those Marvel lawyers, they're weak.
Yeah.
We'll fight them.
Well, I think they all died in the last movie.
Fantastic show. Thank you so much, Jane, for joining us today.
Thank you. It was really fun. Appreciate you all.
It was.
Thank you, Jane.
It was.
Jackie's going to reach
out
and get us all together on the Kangoo boots. That's going to be fun.
Perfect.
Yes.
Yay. Looking forward to it.
Oh.
Yay.
You have to get pictures. You have to get pictures. That would be fun.
You're going
to
be there, Joe. You're going to be there. Don't say you got to get pictures. You're going to be there.
I'm there. Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, I want other people to take a record.
We will.
A record
we
of
will.
Mark
we will.
In some Kangoo jumps. That's what
yeah.
I want.
Yeah, I'll get a couple inches
right.
off the ground.
Thanks,
all right,
Mark.
Guys, have a wonderful and safe weekend.
Thank you, and of course,
you
thank
too.
You, Jack.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
That's our show. Have a fantastic weekend. It's going to be great. Enjoy the South Bay. Bye-bye.